left of the dial. A behind-the-scenes look at Utah issues you care about and politics that affect your family. From a whole different point of view. Each week has 168 hours. This hour is different. It's different. Left of the dial with your host, Jeff Bell, on KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Welcome to Left of the Dial. My name's Jeff Bell. I think it's a good-looking Saturday afternoon out there. I'm pleased that you could join me. We got a whole bunch to fit into the next hour. I hope you can stick around. Please feel free to give me a call in. 575-8255 is the number. 670-KSL-1 up north, 470-KSL-1 down south. 888-575-8255 for everybody else. Well, for those of you that follow the Facebook group, I just wanted to jump on the agenda. The first thing is, as always, I complain a little bit about what the government's doing to or against me. And something interesting this week as I watched. Now, at the end, for the last few minutes of last week's show, I really swung away at Congressman Jason Chaffetz, who escaped from the Capitol nursery and made his way to talk to reporters about the security machines that we do have here in Salt Lake City, that if you'll recall earlier this last year in 2009, when he was randomly selected to get pushed through extra security, he threw a tizzy fit, much like an angry toddler. And because he hates the naughty machine, the X-ray underwear peeking naughty machine. Now, several over the last week since the attempted underwear bombing, on the flight into Detroit, we've had various security experts from the walking Skeletor conflict of interest, Michael Chertoff, to other pretty high profile Republicans that during the last administration were always brought on as experts in their field, and everything they said, everyone had to march in lockstep to. Now they're saying that these machines that we have here that Congressman Chaffetz is fighting so hard against, would have seen this bomb, would have recognized it for what it was, would have taken care of the guy long before he ever got on a plane. Now, yes, I know that the country in question where this plane originated didn't have that. And that's not the point I'm trying to make. The point I'm trying to make is as we move forward to find ourselves slightly more secure, and really there is very little more secure than jumping on an airplane, this would not only speed up the process, it would make it so that you could keep your shoes on. It would ease the restriction of getting, you know, in and out of your concourse. It would make life easier and quicker for everybody. And if you've seen the images that this X-ray takes, there is nothing at all to get excited about. And if you are getting excited about it, chances are that your imagination is running way too wild, because I don't see what his big deal is. Now, in response to that underwear bomber, I mean, really, like the shoe bomber had a bad enough nickname. This guy, this chucklehead, the underwear bomber, you know, Calvin Klein. the administration, the current administration, Obama's White House, took three days to get around to saying something about this particular mostly failed terrorist attack. I mean, the guy was successful up until he tried to actually commit the act. He got on the plane, he was in the plane was in the air, and then he lit himself on fire. It's the thing that I have a teenage boy at home who saw on CNN the remains of the charred underwear, and the fire this kid started himself on was, I mean, there was a lot of underwear left over. And he wears bikini briefs, which I think has to be against the law in certain parts of the world. It should be at any rate. Regardless, so 3 days, and the Republicans went nuts. I mean, they went nuts. 3 days, 72 hours without hearing from the president, while the FBI and the NTSB and Homeland Security still doesn't have any answers. Janet Napolitano, you know, stepped on herself when she got out too quick and said something before she knew what was going on. And the Republicans are going nuts. But if you'll go back, and this is that double standard, this let's make political points under any false pretenses, when the shoe bomber, who used to have the silliest terrorist name, committed his failed foot fire, fast acting, tenactin, he 6 days, it was 6 days until former President Bush got around to talking to reporters about it. Now, I don't know that the 6 day thing was a problem. I don't know that the 3 day thing was a problem. But if we're going to jump on the Republican bandwagon and say that 3 days was too long to wait to hear from our administration, at least Obama has proved once again that he's twice as good as President Bush. Can we go with that? Wait for the calls to line up. 575-8255 is the number. So we've got one congressman who has, the giggles and the embarrassment over better airport security, much like, you know, a six-year-old with a flatulence joke can't contain his giggles. We've got Republicans who have absolutely no basis in history, no filter whatsoever for what they do. Jumping on that particular meme, you've got a guy like Senator Hatch, former presidential aspirant, who really came out in an interview, and after kicking around the Dems for runaway spending, which I'm against for the most part, because it doesn't seem to be benefiting me much. But when he was shown that in 2003, Republicans were cranking up the spending machine at a far faster rate than Democrats are now, Hatch basically said, but it's okay that we did that because we were running the show. When Republicans do it, it's fine. But when these Democrats do it, oh my, goodness gracious, honest to Pete, it's got to be evil because it's not us. It's only good when us does it. Look, ladies and gentlemen of Utah, if you are a registered voter, I need you to pay attention to this. I need you to ask yourself a question. We're coming into another election year. The majority party in this state makes statements like this all the time. It's only illegal if you get caught, Sherliff. It's only bad if the other guy does it. You have a supermajority in the state house that can't pass an ethics bill that means anything, and yet they've got no problem blaming Democrats for everything when Democrats don't even have enough votes up there to turn a veto. And you could say all you want, well, it's all the other Republicans. It's not my guy. You know what? It is. It's complicity. It's complacency. They let the leadership get away with what they get to. It's a world we need to strike for balance. Strive for balance. At least we can have an argument up there that means something. All right, coming up in the next block, I've got Curtis Haring. Hopefully he's decided to call in to give us a check on the fair boundaries and how we're looking at whether or not we get some sane redistricting in the next couple of years. You're listening to Left of the Dial on KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
It's the talk show different from all the others.
That's because Jeff Bell is Left of the Dial, and he's exclusively on KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Welcome back to Left of the Dial. This is Jeff Bell on a beautiful Saturday afternoon. Redistricting is the polite word for the assault on democracy that has occurred the last two times the Utah legislature has had the opportunity to draw new district lines after a census. The proper dictionary definition of such a sad and pathetic display of partisan pettiness is gerrymandering. And that was enough that even conservative newspapers all over the country the last time cried foul at what our legislature did to our districts. You look back at that 10 years ago and you see some of the same people still in office, even though their constituents at the time were jumping up and down, even though we were the embarrassment of most of the nation. And what it started as is Texas Republicans wanted to test fly a program to see if they could get away with redrawing the district lines in Texas to do the same thing that happened here. So they floated their program. It was a runaway, quote, success, unquote. And people were shocked, not only across the nation, but across all over the world, at the just rampant lapse of ethics that went into it. Now, we're about to do that again. We got the census rolling around this year, now that we're in 2010, which means that the House is going to have an opportunity, well, the Hill's going to have an opportunity to redraw the district lines. And people are concerned. Republicans, Democrats, Independents, different third parties, you know, Greens, Desert Greens, Mountain Greens, Lawn Greens, all the Greens seem to be the happy face party. You have a truly nonpartisan consensus that this next time, this next opportunity that lawmakers in Utah have to redraw the lines ought to remove as much of the political partisanship as possible from the process and let Utah voters pick their representatives as opposed to having the representatives pick their voters. Now, there is a very dedicated group that runs as square down the middle as you can possibly be in something like this. They are called Fair Boundaries. They have several Republicans, several Democrats as spokesmen out there. And they've just hired a very talented young man named Curtis Haring, whom I've had on the show before. He's an old friend of mine. He's very, very, very smart, very talented, quite young, not nearly as handsome as I. And he's been running all over the state in his new position as executive director. He's down in St. George today, and I convinced him to give me a call. Are you there, Curtis?
I am here indeed, Jeff.
Now, and you're down.
I beg to differ on the handsome part.
I you know what? There's at least one person in the studio right now that will take my point on that.
All right.
So, you're in St. George. What are you doing down there?
Well, you know, we're going to be meeting with a couple of our volunteers. We've also got some plans in place to meet with local leaders. And basically, we're just down here to not only re-energize our group after the new year, but hopefully pass out more petitions, talk to more people. And
it's hard. It's kind of hard to get a little worked up over Christmas and the other seasonal holidays to go out and knock on doors and get petitions done.
It is, and that's true. But, you know, one of the nice things about St. George is it is sunny and 50 degrees down here. I'm actually walking around outside with a t-shirt on. So it's a little bit easier down here. But, you know, now with the census going and people finally starting to get back into the political mood, especially with the legislature starting back up, you know, it's time to get back into gear. And that's one of the reasons I'm down here is just to talk to people and re-energize them.
Now, what's your timeline looking like? When are your signatures due? How many? When do they have to be done?
Well, our signatures are due on April 15th, so tax day. And the key number is about 95,000. It's a little bit less than that. Our target is 113,000. That way we can make sure that when we send them off to the governor, or excuse me, lieutenant governor to get certified, we're obviously going to have enough names on that ballot or on that petition to get on the ballot in November.
Now, as I recall from the last time there was a citizen initiative like this, I believe it was on vouchers.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the number of signatures, but it's the percentage of those numbers in each county. You have to have it's in each Senate district, isn't it?
That's correct. Actually, it's a little bit of both. We need to get 10% of 10% of 23 or 26 Senate districts out of 29. And then on top of that, we need to have the set number of 94,000, yada, yada, yada.
That's nutty.
It's a little bit of both. Well, you know, we don't make the rules, we just follow them. And, you know, even with that interesting little quirk, we're having an amazing success getting people coming out. And we do predict success by April.
Well, that's cool. Now, are you guys, is there anywhere I mean, anywhere set where somebody can go and sign a petition now, or are you going to have volunteers on the ground running around down there, or even up here? Is there someplace people can go?
Yes. I mean, we actually have a whole section dedicated on our website, fairboundaries.org, where people can actually click on it and find out where their local leader is if they just want to find a petition and sign it. Or if they want to grab a petition, they can also talk to those people as well. But we're going to be starting to post bigger events. So, for example, we want to get some people out back up in Salt Lake. We want to get people out when people are grabbing their Sundance tickets. And we're hoping to find find more events like that posted on our website so that if people are looking for one, they can get them. But one of the things that I'm really making my goal is to make sure that people are aware of where these petitions are and that they have easy access to them.
Now, your urgency is April 15th.
Mm-hmm.
The website is fairboundaries.org.
Mm-hmm.
You are Curtis Haring.
Herring.
Jeff. Herring. I do that every time, man. I'm so sorry.
It breaks my heart, Jeff.
It should. It should. That I have so little regard that I say your name the way it's spelled. And so, okay. Now, you're down in St. George.
Yes.
You're going to be coming back up here.
Mm-hmm.
And is everybody, I mean, are you... Is everything going pretty well with your transition, coming in as executive director? Is everything on that worked out well?
You know, yeah, everything's worked out great. You know, I mean, we're set up shop. I'm working my little hiney off, and, you know, things are really transitioning well. I mean, it's a very organic fit, it feels like.
Outstanding. All right, now, I want you to really quick give me your three most famous Republicans and three most famous Democrats that are supporting this, and then we got to go.
Oh, geez. You've hit me for a loop here. I know Patrice Arendt. On the Democrat side, Bill Orton on the Republican side.
Did you get Garn?
You know, I don't know. I'd have to double check to be perfectly honest. I know a little organization called KSL has supported us.
Outstanding.
As well as the Deseret News and the Trib as well.
Just all right, buddy. Hey, you can hear the music going. I got to run to the hard break on the bottom of the hour. Hey, give me a call, folks. Let's talk about gerrymandering. Let's talk about anything you want to today. It's pretty much open. This is Left of the Dial on KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Issues and popular culture with a whole different set of opinions you've never heard before. Left of the Dial with Jeff Bell on KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Welcome back to Left of the Dial. 575-8255 is the number. 670-KSL-1 up north, 470-KSL-1 down south. 888-575-8255 for everybody else. You can text in at 57500, and I don't know why I keep forgetting to look at that thing every show. But, you know, once you put in, you know, weather, traffic, commercials, and all that, you know, I've got, like, what, 15, 16 minutes on the air, so I forget to read. It's what I do. I forget. You can ask my wife. I'm forgetful. Except for trivia. You guys want to call in? You want to challenge me on TV trivia from the 70s? I'm on it. Well, welcome to the beginning of a brand spanking new year, a new decade. Who knew we'd make it this far? If you paid attention to any political ads in 2004 or 2006, you would know that we were destined for world on fire by this point, and yet we seem to have once again monkeyed our way through. Look at it. I'm looking out the window right now at beautiful downtown Salt Lake City. I could see Temple Square from here. I could see the conference center. I could see a bunch of apartments I can't afford to live in. Some big houses up on the hill. None of them are on fire. There has been no nuclear Armageddon. Waves of Al-Qaeda terrorists have not swept through the streets of downtown Salt Lake City. I don't, you know, it's, we spend so much time being told to be afraid by people who pretend that they've got our best interests in mind. And yet, what it really comes down to is they're just a bunch of scared, you know, little people too. You know, my children seem to have more backbone than any elected Republican. My five-year-old is less afraid of, you know, anybody she meets who may have a beard or tan skin. When you look at the terrorist attack from this chucklehead, now, Scott here in the studio with me, with the BVD bomber, I think we're going to go with that for a while. even though BVDs are usually bigger than what this guy was wearing. I don't know. Everybody talked about how much explosive he packed. He was wearing bikini briefs. I mean, how much room did he have to pack explosives in those things? So, you know what? That just, let's move on. And that was, there was a graph I saw on the internet, and I would love to give you the link right now, but I can't find it at the moment. I'll have it up on jmbell.org sometime later tonight. But there was a graph showing that since 1999 to 2009, we've flown billions of hours in the air, billions of flights, back and forth to the moon over and over and over again, millions of safe minutes, to the point that if you were to break it down into an average, the last terrorist attack, blah, blah, on average was before the Egyptians built the pyramids. Millions of passengers, billions of miles, hundreds of millions of hours in the air, and there's been 6 terrorist attacks in the last 10 years. But you need to be afraid. You need to cower in fear. You need to soil yourself in terror so that the NSA can continue to listen to your phone calls. 6 terrorist attacks in airplanes over the last 10 years. We're led to believe, especially by our draped Republicans, that your rights are meaningless. American tradition is hollow. We should kidnap. We should torture. We should plunder. We should explode. We had a war in Afghanistan that we came in seeking. A lot of my, you know, friends on the left, a few of my friends on the left, maybe 50-50, don't agree with me that I thought that was a righteous cause. They were an evil regime that was torturing their own, that helped finance and plan and house the people who killed 2,800 innocents in the attack on the World Trade Center 9/11. And we went there, and we waffle-stomped them as nearly out of existence as you possibly can when it comes to an ideology. We had the country. We had the Northern Alliance. The other countries in the area were all on top. It turns out that we were 15, 20 feet from bin Laden, and we had to let him go because no one answered the phone at the White House at 3 o'clock in the morning. I mean, how's that? How's that for a statistical irony? Hillary. And now we're facing an Iraq that seems to be, once again, becoming more and more dangerous and more lethal. We are 90-some-odd percent control of Afghanistan is now back down into the teens, which is about where it was before we showed up the first time. And one more religiously motivated chucklehead climbs on a plane and does something to help exterminate several hundred members of his species. And to watch the news, to listen to the pundits, you would think that the world had once again was on the brink of utter annihilation and nuclear winter. I know that we can't stop every terrorist, and I know that there are folks that are going to suffer, that are going to be hurt, that are going to be killed, because when someone is motivated to kill themselves to make a political or a religious point, they are willing to kill themselves to make a religious or a political point. It's impossible to stop that forever. So when we look at an ideology, whether you want to call it political or religious, that is set to punish the American way of life or the capitalist system or anything other than their own, you know, dogmatic beliefs, at what point do we look at what makes us unique, what makes us American, what made us proud to be who we are, to fly our flag and feel a flutter inside when we see it, Why do we want to make those changes? We're headed into a new year. We are told by the current administration that the one thing we've really, really done as a country is we've given up torture under any name. And I'm proud of that fact. Until after 9/11, we didn't torture the way that we've seen that we've done now. It was punishable. It was actionable. And all of a sudden, we went through several years of being told we weren't doing it, even as the innocent victims, as well as those that were guilty of crimes against our country, were being treated in a way that we had signed on to in accords that our American tradition does not support, and I don't care what you say, we don't. We're trying to move some of these people through a court system, and the Republicans are freaking out all over again. Oh, you can't give them their day in court. And I have to wonder if the reason they are so spooked is because of whatever humane behavior we as Americans used to expect of ourselves. We've denied them. I trust our justice system, even though I feel that it picks on me when I drive too fast. I trust our justice system, and I trust most Americans to understand that getting your day in court, no matter who you are or what you've done, is part of what makes us special. We need the habeas corpus back. We need to go back and reread the Magna Carta to see where we've lost our way. And now that we are on the beginning and the brink of a brand new year, in a brand new decade, in this yet another century, the first tenth, I think it's time to re-examine our American values and figure out what it is we stand for, and maybe take the theology and the politics of fear and treat them with the derision and the snideness and the mocking that they truly deserve. I'm not afraid, and you shouldn't be either. Give me a call. 575-8255 is the number. This is Left of the Dial. I'm Jeff Bell, KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM. Yeah, country
love. Progressive policies.
A different viewpoint.
You'll only hear it when you're Left of the Dial with Jeff Bell. Jeff's at 575-8255 right now on KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Welcome back to Left of the Dial. Few minutes is all we have left of this, the first show in the beginning of my third year here at KSL. And if that is not the most insane thing you've ever heard, I don't know what to tell you. I'm starting on my third. Wow. I honestly, week after week after week, I wait to hear the, hey, don't bother showing up on Saturday. I mean, you know, I'm not making stuff up. I sit here, I'm reading the news when I'm shooting my mouth off. But still, I am. Well, one of these things is not like the other here at KSL. One of these things is not the same. And that would be me. So as we look back over the last couple of years, one of my favorite memories was as I came in to do my very first show 2 years ago. I forgot my notes, and I mean, this was important to me. I really, really wanted to deliver for you the way I try to do every week. And I had about 180 pages of notes and totally forgot them. And so flying by the seat of my pants, I jumped into an online folder. I keep, you know, most of my political stuff, and pulled out a sheath of stuff on, Attorney General Mark Shurtleff. And now I give this disclaimer every time I talk about Mark, I like Mark Shurtleff as a person. I do not like Mark Shurtleff as an elected office holder for various reasons that you can go back through the show archives, at jambell.org or on the KSL. You can go back and hook up your podcast player and go all the way back. And Mark, someone told him about it. He couldn't have been listening. It was my first show. No one was listening. you know, except for some very, very startled, just getting in the car after leaving the grocery store folks that had turned off their car radios listening to Enid and gotten back in their cars with me on. And Mark was angry. Now, I show up the next week. I'm ready to do a great show. I want to talk about Web 2.0. I want to talk about technology and politics. I really want to geek out, figuring once again that maybe I'll be a little less hard to take from some of, you know, those that roll over from Enid's show. And yes, I've obviously gotten over that. And instead, 5 minutes before the show, I get a call, from Kevin, the news director here, who says, Mark Shirtliff's going to be there in just a minute. And he would like to go point by point over your last show. So my second week, I had the attorney general, of the great state of Utah sitting next to me with a very angry face and a firearm and one of the gaudiest Hawaiian shirts I have ever seen in my entire life. And the first thing I do is start to tease him, both about his inability to stay upright on a motorcycle and that particular shirt, which, in all fairness, truth, and in proper disclosure, I would totally wear it myself. But I wasn't that day. I was wearing a solid color, so I felt that it was free. And, you know, Mark lightened up right away. He understood what I was doing, where I was coming from. We went through the points, and the truth is I was a little softer on him than I should have been. But he's a good guy. He'd be fun to go on a road trip with. Now I'm sitting here staring at a picture on the SaltLakeTrib.com of you know, Shirtliff's friend Rick Korber, who, when granted the opportunity to take a look at this guy, the AG's office went, oh, there's nothing there. And yet the feds not only found a bunch of things to charge him with, they keep finding more and more and more to throw on there. And that looks, well, terrible. I mean, just terrible. It's, if you can't do your job as an elected official because you have too many buddies who the feds are trying to indict, maybe it's time to step aside. I mean, it's, you've got misuse of the state seal, taking office stuff home, all these goofy things that may or may not, you know, because no one decides to prosecute the attorney general on something, doesn't mean it's not wrong and it doesn't smell bad. It just means you got away with it. You know, the payday lender money, the which again, not against the law, just dirty, just icky, just slimy. And yet you spend 5 minutes with the guy and you want to bring him home to meet your parents. Not in that way, but not that they're anyway. So now we have Wimmer, Representative Carl Wimmer, who's great buddies with Shirtliff, who's also great buddies with Korber, the multiple indictment by the feds, but squeaky clean in the Utah government. And the two are in cahoots to some point about healthcare reform. They've decided to sue the federal government to spend millions of dollars that we don't have, which, you know, these chuckleheads are going to suck right out of education. You know, I mean, look, we have a legislature that thinks that the international, and I'm going to say this word wrong because I always do, Becquerelette program is an evil UN plot. Yeah, I'm looking at you, Dayton. And here we go. We're going through the constitutional process of passing law right now that we didn't get to go through, if you listen to my last section, on, I don't know, torture, kidnapping, extraordinary rendition, warrantless wiretapping. Those are all unconstitutional, and those all were started without a congressional process, and that Congress rolled over on them and made them at least quasi-legal. You know, reverse immunity from prosecution for the phone companies that went along with the illegal program to wiretap. Okay, right now we have a healthcare bill, whether you like it or not, that's gone through the House, then it's gone through the Senate, and when these chuckleheads get back to work, and these Congress critters, the Senate and the House have to meet and make their bills, you know, meet and match, and it's going to fall apart. You now have Mark Shirtliff and Carl Wimmer, who've decided they're going to sue the feds on grounds that are so weak, it explains why I think Mark was once fired from the AG's office before he was the AG. And Wimmer wants to pass a bill that says that screw Utahns that need health care. We're just not going to have it. You know, if George Bush wanted to pass this kind of health care reform, these guys would be rolling over for it. They would. But you know what? Your political ideology is flawed, folks. Remember that when you vote, would you please? Just remember what these chuckleheads are doing to you under the guise of your party before your person. It should be people before politics, folks, and it's not. I'm Jeff Bell. Catch up with me all week at jmbell.org. You're listening to KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.